This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hello, everybody. It's time for the Wednesday episode of The Nate Darling Show. Show number 504.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Jason.
What's going down?
Kareem, how are you?
I'm okay.
Excellent. Let's get right into it. Coming up on the show today, Jimmy Kimmel has some words about Donald Trump's son-in-law. Check into that. Going to talk about some high-octane coffee and why manners are important. But before we get to all that, Kareem, how was your week?
It was busy. I went to play on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really great. It's called Welcome to Arroyos. It's a hip-hop play about and I probably should have got a program so I know whether this is actually a true story or not. But it was about a Puerto Rican lady who they said was one of the four founding members of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Or she wasn't necessarily one of the founding members, but she was like the first female MC / DJ. The performances were really, they got better as the play went along. And like at the end, you know, I felt the emotion.
Okay.
So that was great. My buddy came to visit who just retired from the Air Force. So the other rest of the weekend was spent cleaning and vacuuming and cutting grass, getting ready for his visit. And then I came over here for WrestleMania.
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a bit. Jason, how about you?
Well, this weekend was very eventful also. And we'll get into details, but I did have a show. I had a show on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
For the improv marathon at the Stack Comedy Spot.
And you had mentioned before last week that you were going to be doing something that involved a storage facility.
Yeah.
And that was also Saturday.
Yeah. Well, that was the previous Saturday.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so then on Sunday night, I had another show, and I also had WrestleMania.
Oh, so that's why you left WrestleMania early.
Yeah, I had a show at 8 o'clock. Yeah.
Oh.
But no, I mean, it was really... CJ can only really handle about 2 hours without preparing for 8 hours, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. No, it was a good time. So yes, as you guys alluded to, we had the WrestleMania party here at the house.
Oh yeah.
Many former podcast hosts stopped by. Well, Ted and Becca.
Ted and Becca.
Ted and Becca. And your wife and your lovely baby stopped by as well.
Yes, we did.
There was only slight bits of crying.
Yeah,
so it was a fun visit. Your daughter is of course adorable.
She's pretty adorable.
As most 5 months old,
mm-hmm.
5 month olds are. Couple little incidents. My favorite was when she had the big crying face, and then your wife went to take her from you, and then it turned immediately to smile. And I'm like, she is such a manipulator.
She already knows.
Such a manipulator. But WrestleMania 33 in the books, and there were two big headlines that came from WrestleMania. Of course, one was the Undertaker's last match, and of course, the one that's getting a lot of play in the mainstream press, mostly because he's on the Today Show, had to do with everybody's favorite John Cena. Because after his match, where he and Nikki Bella took on The Miz and his wife Maryse, John Cena proposed at WrestleMania.
Aw, yeah.
How about that for hitting the post in the song, too? And she did say yes, so the storyline culminated, because it was a lot of The Miz making fun of John Cena saying 4 or 5 years ago that he never wanted to get married and he never wanted kids. It's now come full circle to where he has proposed, so he now does want to get married.
It happens when you meet a nice woman.
Who puts up with your nonsense?
Yep.
Like all of your house rules. John Cena's house rule. Once a week, we will get together for dinner. You will dress for dinner. You will not be late.
Maybe she just needed somebody to give her some direction or some rules. She was a wild child.
Mm.
She's like, ooh, nobody's ever talked to me like that.
That's why I love my wife.
Because you made her wait like that, too?
No, because she made him wait like that.
Yeah.
She gave him some structure.
She gave me some structure.
Mm-hmm. You ever get the cone of shame?
Only once.
Those are the two biggest moments, I think, that people are talking about as WrestleMania moves forward. I thought it was a good show overall. And, of course, the Raw after WrestleMania on Monday night, full of surprises, as was the SmackDown Live, well, as we're recording this tonight.
Oh.
By the way, if you could see the show now, you would see me talking, trying to formulate thoughts, while these two guys are just frantically looking down at their phones, looking like they're texting like teenage girls.
Texting. I am not texting.
No, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was trying to look up and see if Welcome to the Arroyos was actually based on a true story or not.
We've moved so far past that.
It doesn't matter.
It does not. That's people can look that up on their own.
That's why I'm horrible.
It's all good. Your OCD is taking you over. So what was your favorite part of WrestleMania that you saw, Jason?
Gosh, I think it was the four women that were that wrestled together.
Oh, the fatal four-way elimination match for the Raw Women's Championship?
Yeah.
Can you name any people in that match?
No, I just know that one of them was The Rock's niece.
Cousin.
And then one of them was I can't. Oh, and one of them was Ric Flair's daughter?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, she was. They are all accomplished women, and thank you for bringing them down to the level where they can only be defined by the men that they've had some sort of relation or association with.
I know. That's I'm
way to be part
that.
Of the patriarchy.
See? That's why I have to work so hard against it.
So Kareem, were you here by that time? Did you get to see that match?
I saw that. I did see that match, but I didn't know that they were connected like that.
Okay. So it's Charlotte Flair, Becky, not Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is on SmackDown. Sasha Banks.
Is that the one that won?
No, Bayley is the one that won. She is from San Jose, and she is still the champion.
Okay.
And Nia Jax is The Rock's cousin. Yeah. Charlotte Flair is obviously Ric Flair's daughter.
Yeah.
So that was your favorite. Kareem, what was your highlight of the WrestleMania?
My highlight and my heartbreak was watching The Undertaker's last match.
Mm.
And it was a highlight and a heartbreak because it was his last match, but also it should have been his last match, but it should have been his last match.
He's 52.
I haven't watched wrestling enough lately to say who should have been the person that the torch was passed to.
Sure.
So I won't.
Well, that's okay. I was just looking for your impression of what you found most enjoyable about the show on Sunday.
What was yours?
You know, there were a lot of really good moments. The match that I was looking forward to most, and it did not disappoint, was Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho for the U.S. title, which was a bill. They were playing, quote-unquote, best friends for several months.
Oh, I forgot about that. And then my other favorite part was the Hardy Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for interrupting. it's good broadcasting. And so that paid off with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho for that title. But yeah, the big surprise of WrestleMania was the Hardy Boys are back. Still unclear whether or not it will be broken Matt Hardy or regular Matt Hardy, because Broken Matt Hardy is a character that he was playing when he was with Impact Wrestling. There were some legal issues with that. I believe he has the rights to the character. We don't know if he's going to use it because he hasn't spoken yet. He has some of the same crazy-eyed mannerisms, but we shall see what happens.
I will say, like, I wish I could have watched that whole match because I think we left in the middle of that match.
Yeah, you missed a lot of really good high spots.
Yeah, and that probably would have been, because I enjoyed that from the beginning in the first place, because the Hardy Brothers.
Yeah, they're part of the Attitude Era that came back. So hopefully they'll continue to be booked. They defended their titles on Monday Night Raw, so it's a new thing. And then next week,
so they won the title.
They won the titles.
Oh, awesome!
And defended them on Monday. Now next week, because Vince McMahon came out on Monday Night Raw, they are going to shake up the rosters. So they've got.
Again?
Yep, it was less than a year ago that they had the draft, and a bunch of people were put on Raw, and a bunch of people were put on SmackDown. They don't intermix, and he's like, we're mixing things up. So next Monday, they're mixing up the rosters again. So if you have been out of wrestling and you're thinking, maybe I should check back in with wrestling, Monday night on Raw would be a good time to check back in. There have been some call-ups from the NXT developmental thing, both on Monday and on Tuesday. So it's been an interesting... Now is the most exciting time of the year in professional wrestling. It really is. So that's that. All right, now moving on to... We spent 10 minutes on that. Everybody can just freaking relax. meantime, it's what I like to call Manners Corner here. An Oregon woman said a thief who snatched her package, which is better than packaging your snatch, snatched a package from her porch, left two things behind, a thank you note and video of her face. Mayor Blatt said she was at lunch on Monday when she received a notification on her phone from her Ring video doorbell, which was set to alert if anyone approached her porch. Said, my phone got a ping and actually looked at the phone when it pinged and saw the image of this person coming up my stairs and thought it was my neighbor. It wasn't. She saw the woman who appeared to be writing a note, so she dismissed the notification, which stopped the video camera from recording. She said that she only later discovered the woman was not her neighbor and had apparently stolen a package delivered by UPS. The thief left behind a handwritten note which read, hey, thank you for the package.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That is cold.
Here's the rub, though. She stopped recording before the package was taken, so even though she's convinced the woman in the video is the thief, police said the woman in the footage is considered a prime suspect. The package? A $17 bottle of hair oil. Which the thief kept after opening the package around the corner from her house and abandoning the box in some bushes.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to get her for littering, too. I hope.
That's the worst part of it.
It's like a felony to be steal somebody's mail?
Well, it's a UPS package. So I don't know if it qualifies as mail.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends. I know that... because usually USPS rents out UPS and FedEx planes to ship stuff, so probably not.
It's tough to say.
And I know I had a package that I ordered a book through FedEx, and this is why I hate FedEx. And I ordered a book from Barnes & Noble, and it was shipped by FedEx. The book never came.
Okay.
So I called and said, hey, I ordered this book. I never received it. Or somebody stole my package, and FedEx was like, do you have a police report?
Really?
Yeah.
For your book?
For a book. Yeah, for my book.
Like, so, officer, you're not coming out to investigate my book?
Yeah. I'm like, it was a $20 book. I'm not calling the police about that when you were supposed to deliver it. So, yeah. So it may be considered, but I was just like, what in the world?
They should have just called up Barnes & Noble. They would have. They have like a debit account with them, I'm sure, to where they just, you know, do one big transaction at the end of the year. They're like, all right, so how much you owe us in lost packages, FedEx?
Yeah. Here's the nice thing, though. If you would have ordered that book on Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab on NateDarlingShow.com, you could have had the package not delivered to your house where it could have been stolen. It could have been brought to an Amazon locker where you could go and pick it up at your convenience.
Which is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, they've got them in Safeways around here. I know in Davis, they have them at UC Davis, and there's some around here. But that's often an option when you're checking out on Amazon. Is you can go, oh, I want to pick it up at an Amazon locker, and it will give you the options of the ones near where you are.
That is why Amazon is the coolest.
So go ahead and do your shopping on Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it. Thank you very much. And in more package news, an Englishman returned home to find a strange note explaining why a package he ordered was in his toilet. Sam Cook shared photos of the unopened package nestled in his toilet bowl, along with two missed delivery cards from the Royal Mail. On Twitter, he said, well, this happened today. Now, the first missed delivery note simply informed him the package had been delivered through an open window in his home, while the second featured an apologetic message after the delivery person realized it was a bathroom window that was open and the package had fallen in his toilet. I'm really sorry, the mail carrier wrote. I think your parcel might have fallen in the toilet accidentally. That's why you close the lid.
Oops.
If you do you need another reason? I keep telling people, close the damn lid.
You should always close the lid.
That's right. I try and tell Leslie that. She doesn't do it. Doesn't do it.
I'm guilty of that, so.
Close the lid.
Always close the lid. You just put the, I mean, how hard is it?
Exactly.
It's just like, bam, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really is just like a swipe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can use your cell phone, which obviously everybody can.
Mostly, yeah.
If you could use a, if you can operate a wheelchair with one hand and a finger, like the hook thing, like you could still close a toilet.
Mm-hmm. You could use your toe if you like. Yeah. The Royal Mail reached out to apologize to him on Twitter after the post went viral. But the 22-year-old took the situation in stride, saying there's honestly nothing to apologize for. The parcel is absolutely fine. Gave me and thousands of others a good laugh. So apparently it was not something that was going to be damaged by the water, or the inside was plastic. And so the water did not get
in. And that, my friends, is the difference between British people or people from the UK and Americans. Because an American would have been like, gosh darn it, you so-and-so and butt face.
Does your self-hate know no end, Jason? Is there any group that you belong to that you don't hate?
No, it's not that I hate.
People, Americans.
I can imagine that if that happened to an American, like if it happened to one of, like somebody, like it, or what would happen is it would be made a big, huge news story.
I'm gonna sue you.
Yeah, well, there's dicks everywhere. This guy just wasn't a dick.
He wasn't.
Not a dick. He might have been a dick if his package was destroyed.
True that.
And and if you're a dick, maybe you need some morning coffee.
Ooh.
Maybe you need some stronger morning coffee.
Yeah.
Well, a South African company has announced the world's strongest coffee. Excuse me. It's coffee. It's what?
Hey!
Exactly. It has the staggering caffeine content. It's now available in the United States. Black Insomnia Coffee, which was first available last year in South Africa, announced a deal with Amazon to bring its ultra-caffeinated beans here to the U.S. The company said it submitted the beans to scientific tests to ensure the brew contains 702 milligrams of caffeine per 12-ounce cup, several times the 150 milligrams the average cup of coffee, and beating the previous claimants to the world's strongest coffee throne, Death Wish Coffee, which had a mere 660 milligrams of caffeine per 12-ounce cup.
That's what I have at my house.
Mm-hmm. The company admitted there are beverages with higher caffeine content, but those competitors contain additives and they aren't pure coffee.
Yeah, well, that's exactly so.
Does that make you poop more high powered too, or what?
No, ooh. It just you know, all I need is like two cups of it, as opposed to drinking like, you know, a pot, which is great. So I can get away with just like, you know, a travel mug full.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you poop, or does it?
No, I poop actually before I have any coffee. Like I'm pretty gosh darn regular. Like Chris thinks it's weird that I only poop usually once a day, sometimes twice a day, and that's usually when I get home from work. I poop before work and after work because, you know, my bosses don't pay me to poop. You know,
you need better bosses.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, package deliveries. Package deliveries, Jason.
Oh, it's cool. It's the coolest.
Kareem.
Having done it, it is cool.
It is cool. I mean, isn't it delightful to get a package? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. I'm next in Cool or Tool, dropping things. Dropping things. Kareem.
That's tool.
Jason.
If it's a deuce, it's cool.
Now, dropping things is tool, and you always feel, when you drop something, you always feel, this is how you know, instinctively you drop something, and you go, oh, I'm such a dick.
Yeah.
Always. I don't care who you are, that's the first thing, oh, I'm such a dick.
I do that thing where I fumble, like, where, like,
yep.
Like you saw that a second ago, like, I reached.
Yeah, where you nearly spilled your energy drink into our electronic equipment here.
But I didn't, did you say I caught it?
I did.
So...
I did. Then I gave you the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag.
<He did.
laughs> No.
And finally in Cooler Tools, Jason sucks on his energy drink. Caffeine addiction. Caffeine addiction, Jason.
Oh, man. Definitely cool.
Kareem.
since it got me through my class the other week. It's cool.
No, it's Tool. Let me tell you something. I just finished Tool 30, you might have heard. And all you need is to eat clean and drink plenty of nice pure fluids, and you'll have plenty of energy. You don't need to add stimulants to whatever you're doing. So it's Tool.
I know.
Y'all can't see me do that that hand motion
and
the jerk off motion.
And FYI, I didn't know if I had like a something to complain about later, but now definitely do.
And that's gonna do it for Cool or Tool for this episode. Alrighty. Away with you, music. So the late night talk shows have become really the best place to get your political commentary, as if they weren't before. Well, Jimmy Kimmel has taken aim at Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, who is traveling to Iraq with the Joint Chiefs chairman. And we'll let Jimmy Kimmel explain the whole thing and why
today,
he's
Donald
feeling
Trump
weird.
Sent his son-in-law, Jared, not the one from Subway, a different Jared. Jared Kushner, who of course is married to his daughter Ivanka, went to Iraq today, where he met with the Iraqi prime minister, which is strange because Jared Kushner is a real estate developer. He's 36 years old. He has no experience dealing with foreign governments. This is a guy who negotiates rent. I mean, this is his job, is to figure out how much it will cost to put a Dunkin' Donuts on the first floor of an office building. Dennis Rodman has more foreign policy experience than Jared Kushner. Like, for real. So you have to wonder why the president would send him to a military operation in Iraq. And I was driving to work, I was thinking about it this morning, and I came up, there's only one possible explanation. I think the president might be trying to kill him. You know, a lot of fathers don't get along with their son-in-laws. If you're president, you can throw a black bag over his head and ship him off to Iraq. Think about it. It makes sense. By the way, you think Donald Trump's real sons are jealous that Jared's over in Iraq meeting with the general while they're off shooting koala bears and playing hacky sack with rolls of $50 bills? I mean, they have to be, right? Thanks.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Well, he's like, this is true. He's like, I'm not making this up.
I'm not making any of this up at all. Speaking of things you can't make up. Yes, Kareem.
There was a guy on CNN, one of the CNN commentators, pretty much said the same thing. This is the fact that they've given this guy like 20 jobs.
To be fair,
he's a Jamaican.
He's just as qualified to do any of those as Donald Trump is to be president.
That is true. That's the sad part.
In context, it all makes sense. Yeah. But let me tell you something. That's not the craziest thing that I noticed this week. Because a British sculptor is preparing for the country's cheese carving championship. He's unveiled his warm-up creation that he calls Beyoncé.
Oh, God.
It is a statue of Beyonce carved from cheese, and not just any Beyonce, pregnant Beyonce.
No.
David Bradley is preparing to compete in the Cheese Carving Championship as part of London's East Village Cheese and Wine Festival. He teamed up with London ad agency, the Robin Collective, and veteran food sculptor Jackie Kelly to craft the tribute to Queen Bey based on the famous Instagram photo of the singer holding her baby bump. A lot of cheese puns floated around, and Beyoncé was the one everyone liked the most. Shut up. The 5-pound sculpture is actually made from 5 blocks of cheddar rather than the softer cheese brie, so it's another lie. We talked about putting Baby Bell in the stomach, but it never actually happened. Shut up. His name is Klinglepuss. He said it took Bradley and his team 28 hours to complete work on the sculpture. So if you're wondering how long it takes to craft a Beyonce out of cheese, 28 hours. That you will never... Yes,
get back.
Thank you for showing me, Jason. It's 28 hours that you will never, ever get back.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
Alrighty, let's wrap this thing up. We got some... Got some news from Bangor, Maine.
Ooh.
Headline: early spring is still the right time to prune fruit trees.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Dear apple trees, look a little well, worse for wear after the long winter. Or maybe your peach trees seem a little less than perky. If so, you're in luck. It's not too late to prune fruit trees. That's according to the University of Maine and their pomology professor, Renee Moran, who works at the college research facility. It's still a good time to prune fruit trees, but people should try to finish up pruning their apples and pears before they break bud. Mm. She added that stone fruit trees, such as plums, peaches, and cherries, can be pruned any time in the month of April. Oh, right now. In my opinion, pruning is good for the tree. Now, there's a lot of reasons why that's the case. She said, left unchecked, trees have a natural tendency to grow too many shoots and large branches, which can impede sunlight from getting to lower ones. That's according to a helpful comprehensive primer on pruning, published online by the University of Maine Cooperative Extension. I know you'll be reading that, Jason.
Mm-hmm. He's Googling it right now.
Mm-hmm. Trees with an open, well-lit canopy grow larger fruit compared to trees that grow in a thicket. Trees that are unchecked can also grow so tall that the fruit is difficult or sometimes impossible to harvest. Mm. Just think of old, overgrown apple orchards where the fruit can be tempting, but it's so high off the ground it's likely to remain under the jurisdiction of birds and other animals.
True that.
Don't they deserve some too? Trees can also be pruned so that they have a certain shape, and pruning is the standard way to remove dead branches. Experts such as Moran say the best time to prune fruit trees is from the late winter into the early spring, when it will have the smallest impact on the health of the tree. Now, there are many techniques for pruning, that's according to the extension experts. Would you like to know what they are?
Sure.
Well, the first step is to look at the tree from all angles, mm-hmm. and find crowded spots with too many branches, dead branches, and to get a feel for the shape of the tree. Mm-hmm. If the tree is very tall, it's best to hire a professional to get it down to a manageable size before tackling it.
A professional?
Mm-hmm, a professional. Landowners are strongly urged to contact the power company to correct issues with power lines before pruning. Yeah. You should start by removing all dead limbs and branches and should take off the larger limbs before doing the detailed work.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's what the guy who cleaned up the one in my backyard did.
Mm-hmm. To remove the limbs and large branches, they suggest using hand saws and saw poles to avoid climbing trees or standing on old branches that could easily break. People are encouraged to use a tripod ladder, or as you might know it, a step ladder. Because three. Anyway. Chads, it takes a lot of work to prune trees, and the cleanup afterwards sometimes takes more time than the pruning. So that's your tips.
It's a good tip.
That's your tip on pruning for today. And hey, we do live in the city of trees, so it's really important to know these things. Whether you're in a city or a small town, it's all ways important.
Is it still the city of trees? I thought they changed it.
They only changed the slogan on the water tower.
It's the stupidest thing ever.
Well, the Farm to Fork Capital is the stupidest thing ever, too.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of other places that called City of Trees. Streets of Dreams. Sacramento. You'd rather be somewhere else. We know it.
I love Sacramento.
Oh, everybody loves Sacramento, Jason.
If you have not visited Sacramento and you're listening to this podcast, you're like, where can I go where it's still reasonably affordable to get a nice hotel and also see one of the most amazing museums that you'll ever see in your life?
Which one's that?
The Train Museum. Like, the California Train Museum, my father-in-law said that it is one of the most impressive museums that he's ever seen in his life, and it's a world-class museum. So just that alone. But then we have amazing food. We're in the breadbasket of California, which is the breadbasket of the United States. So,
Jason, I don't know if you know this or not, but I just finished Whole 30, and bread's not part of the deal.
Well, you know, fruit basket, cornucopia.
Mm.
Maybe that's better, cornucopia.
Mm, farm to fork. Anywho. No, I'm kidding. Sacramento is fine.
Yeah.
Been here 10 years.
Yeah, right?
It's fine.
It puts its hooks in you.
You know what? Here's the thing. Here's what I will say. Sacramento, it's just fine.
It's fine.
It's just fine.
Yeah. And if you want something even better, you can go to...
It's a nice, sturdy place to live.
Yeah.
And it's not going to overwhelm you.
No.
But you could find yourself happy here.
You can find yourself happy here. And when you need a break, you can take a 3-hour drive to Monterey or Santa Cruz, or a 2-hour drive to the city by the bay, San Francisco.
There's the real slogan, Sacramento, close to places you'd rather be.
There you go.
All right, since he had the big news this week, you know, I thought I'd break into the old school John Cena music.
Yeah.
This is Basic Thugonomics wrapping up this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Back on Friday with another new one. Bye-bye. Carry you twice despite the cover of night. Tracking your flight like guerrilla warfare. Where the grass is dense. Approaching me is a quick way to get referred to in the past tense. Dead that. When the lights and mic is on. The crowd is dead like an intermission when you on a tight word strong. Life. This is Basic Thugonomics. This is basic Thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic Thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.